You're listening to EPN, the E-Podcast Network.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success today. We are joined by Mr. Lewis Carter, the CEO and president of Best Practice Institute, a benchmark research consortium, association, and management consulting firm. His newest book is In Great Company, How to Achieve Peak Performance by Creating an Emotionally Connected Workplace. Looking forward to hearing the details. And Mr. Carter, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Thanks, Eric. Good to be here.
Yes, sir. Mr. Carter, thanks for joining us and really appreciate your time. So for starters, tell us why you wrote this book, In Great Company.
I wrote it because about 15 or so years ago, I started the Institute really, that's just more than 15 years, 2001. So that's quite a long time ago, 2001. I did my graduate degree from Columbia, and the first day I was woken up by the plane hitting the first tower in 9/11. So I didn't set my alarm clock, but I was woken up that way. And it changed my worldview, changed a lot of people's worldview, obviously, it changed the world. One thing it did for me as I was getting my graduate degree was hey, a lot of people left the city. And at that time, it was really people were in need of connecting. And what I mean by connecting is they needed to find each other amidst a lot of sadness, a lot of horrible feelings and catastrophe and sort of unconscionable events. And, it's kind of the people think this is kind of a kumbaya thing to do, but I've been a drummer for my entire life. I've been a kit drummer. I've played for about six bands, and I've done also djembe drum circles. I started one at Columbia, and I said, let's do something to have fun. I want to be people to have fun. And so I started the drum circle, and it became part of kind of this beginning of how we can bring people together, become more emotionally connected, and feel like they're not alone. And something that, does a corporate world want that immediately? No. Do they want something like it? Yes. So I went back to my books, all the books I had written before, and people I put in it who were from SVPs from Pfizer and C-levels from other companies like GlaxoSmithKline, Corning, Volvo. And I said, look, let's create something really great together where we share information, really can rely on each other, trust each other. We get the right people in the room who want to be with each other. And we'll create collective bodies of research, of knowledge, like ecumenical documents. We'll do good work together, and we'll not establish what we call the best practices to senior executive board. And they said, yes, sign me up, and started. So that's grown since then. We have 42,000 subscribers throughout the world, and we're in every continent. And it's become a place where people feel safe. They feel they can be real. They can be themselves and also get the information and intelligence they require to really commit to and establish and sustain change within their companies.
Earlier, you mentioned the emotional factor within the workplace. What is emotional connectedness?
So we call it EC. It's emotional connectedness, or EC, is the ability and the practice and competency of being psychologically safe in relationship with yourself, others, teams, and within your organization. What do I mean by that? Is that do you know when you feel that kind of sense, when you feel comfortable talking to somebody? You think it seems almost like it's something that should be, you think it just happens or doesn't happen, right? Sometimes I feel I could say anything to you. So there's science behind that, and the science is really that when we see a mirror into others, actually what others are doing is like us, or their actions or behaviors that they're doing that we want to be like, we immediately have this connection or to that person. So there's two things. Number one, mirror to ourselves what we hear and we see that is like us. Number two, things that they do that we want to be more like. That creates an immediate connection, number one. Number two, when you delve into the relationship, so that's the kind of the superficial what you see. And you delve in and you get to the substance. EC is about five different categories that you can practice inside of for yourself, for others, teams, and your organization, where you're really discovering how you work well together. It's called systemic collaboration. How do I work really well together? The next one is positive outlook, which is how can I see a future with you and the company, the teams, and how do I help people move forward into the future, the positive outlook. Third is the values. What are my values? What are your values? How do we align them? R is how do you like to be respected? How do I like to be respected? How can we enable that inside of a company, inside a relationship? Let's really define it because it's different for other people. And so we can set ground rules and boundaries. And the fifth one is super important, is killer outcomes, is talking about what is the outcomes, what are we going to do at our organization? Are we going to be the organization that can beat all of the Amazons of the world? Are we going to send out the next day packages? Are we going to enable quadruplet revenues in the next 2 years? What are we going to do with our relationships? What is the outcome of our relationships? Or if it's not financial or ROI, how do I make my life better as a result of having you in it?
Great information there. Thanks for that. Good stuff. How is it different from emotional intelligence? Emotional connectedness, that is.
Yeah, so emotional, it's a good question. So emotional intelligence is part of EC. We say EC is the new EI. It's also EC has EI in it. So you need EI in order to do EC. What do I mean by that? So emotional intelligence is having empathy and emotional regulation. At its core, those are the two most important skills, knowledge, attributes, behaviors you need with emotional intelligence. I have to have empathy. I have to understand and feel, what other people are feeling, so I don't, act like a jerk in front of them. Because there's certain situations, circumstances that everybody's going through we may or may not know about. Number two, some sort of emotional regulation. So when I have a reaction, whether it's right, wrong, indifferent, neutral, extreme, or whatever it may be, real or perceived, I'm able to breathe through that reaction and come to a neutrality where I'm better able to make a decision. So it hits what we call the amygdala in our brain, which is the feeling center of our brain. It excites it. We calm it down by working through it and the perceptions and judgments of why or why not, why we may be feeling certain things, and we relax it. We move to our prefrontal cortex. We say, okay, this is what we should say as a result of what just happened.
Tremendous info. Today we're joined by Mr. Lewis Carter, the CEO and president of Best Practice Institute, a benchmark research consortium, association, and management consulting firm. His newest book is In Great Company, How to Achieve Peak Performance by Creating an Emotionally Connected Workplace. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Mr. Carter, why is emotional connectedness so important at work?
So imagine, have you ever been in a situation, you probably think about this, like in one of your jobs or what are things that you have a company, right? One of your jobs or where you just felt like you just can't get hurt at the table, or you just feel like you're going to lose your job if you go to the CEO or you go to somebody, or you just feel like you're walking in eggshells. Do you have a situation like that in your work?
Yes, sir. Certainly in the past, I certainly went through that.
Yes. I mean, what was it like for you? How did you feel? Like, you feel like you want to go to work, you don't want to go to work.
Yeah, didn't want to go to work, didn't sleep well, and it just shook up all the emotions in every way.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are a lot of people like that today and at work. And I mean, our listeners, let's talk to our listeners. So what, you're probably a solopreneur because of this. You know that you could work better when you're probably not in those environments, right? So you make your own environments where you feel comfortable, you create your own values, you develop your own collaborations, you bring in your own contingent labor. That's really awesome. And you can resonate with them. And when it doesn't work out, you bring in people who you think you can resonate with. That's what's important about peak performance and emotional connectedness, is that, you know, we enable these great entrepreneurial cultures where people feel innovative, free to say what they need to say, and to be able to raise their hands when something catastrophic may be happening, and they don't feel that there's fear of reprisal. That's what this is about. So solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, you know what I'm talking about. Executives, you know what I'm talking about. You're either, at the table or you're not. And chances are there's other politics and reasons why you have to say certain things that you say. And sometimes perhaps it's you people can't say certain things, and there's reasons why they can't or shouldn't or will be fired. We have to unearth those as well. Unearth the politics. Understand what's behind it. Understand people's motivations. Why are they saying what they're saying? And maybe when we bring that all out, and when we do bring that out, I've seen better things happen than if we hide them.
Tell us, what are your key learnings from your research? Touch on some of those points, if you would.
Well, I mean, so we looked at thousands of executives throughout the world, and there's some really cool things that happen. Number one, I found out if there is not emotional connectedness or psychological safety inside of a company, it mirrors this interesting percentage, which is only 2% of the people who don't feel psychologically safe, people who actually, these are the people who feel like they've been sort of hurt in meetings, call them carpet, don't have any say. Only 2% leave. So right, these are the most functional people. These 2% of 2 out of 100 people. It's not many. So 2 out of these 100 people are the most functional. They'll leave your company. All right, so you don't have to worry so much about retention when you act like a jerk at work. That's what we found out. Number one, don't worry about retention. It's the other 98 people you have to worry about, because they're cashing the paycheck and they're the ones who are talking behind your back. They're the ones saying the things on Glassdoor. They're the ones doing things in social media. By the way, get a social media policy, everybody. And they're going to harm you. And the reputation means everything. So be careful how you create these relationships. Be open within your company so that in team meetings and one-on-ones, know what's happening behind the scenes and within people's lives. Be good to people, will be good to you. That's a simple thing to say. It's a much harder thing to do. And just identify your risks, mitigate your risks, know where they are so that you can understand in the end where those 98 people are going, if that happens in that event.
Mr. Carter, taking that even further, what are the top things that employers need to do per our conversation today?
Yeah, so in the book, each of the different SPARK has a practice in them. They have a practice sheet, and we have a cultural index as well. I put it all in the book. I give everything away. It's one of the things about me is if you love the book, you love the work, go do it. And it's literally I encourage you to. So, what I do is I always start with an understanding of what is. So that is super important. You got to know what is. At the beginning, if I talk to any executive who says that they know everything, I know we're in trouble. And I do want them to know everything that they need to know. I want them to be brilliant, because they all are. What I want them to say is, I only know what I know. And that's a different statement. So that statement means I'd like to know more about ... So the first thing is we need to get to know more about your top stakeholders, your executive teams, so you can get advice from them. Create relationships where you can get advice, and you formulate this kind of open relationship where within one-on-ones, teams, or wherever it may be, you are in full knowledge of that relationship, and that person is in full knowledge of the relationship with you. And so we begin, again, in that systemic collaboration, in talking through how do we collaborate systemically throughout the company, and talk about how can we give advice for the future. So these are real things, where we'll show you in the first systemic collaboration chapter, we'll talk about, math works, what they did and what you could do to create teams that are enabled to the four player roles. We talk about how can you enable more equal airtime inside of meetings. Number three, you understand more about the role of introverts and how they play inside of meetings. And perhaps silence isn't always an answer. It could be just silence. Whoever needs to be unearthed. So these are things inside of meetings that we need to be mindful of. And we also need to take that finger to the wind in the beginning and really figure out what we know. We have to mitigate risks by understanding what we know, getting data from people within companies and employees, asking the right questions, collecting it and keeping it constantly flowing with water. Because if you don't get that feed forward and feedback from people, you're not going to have a good system to enable growth.
Some great knowledge here behind the message sent out today. And of course, we certainly appreciate the book you have in place in great company. I've got one last question before you take off. What are the top things employers need to stop?
It depends what employer you are. Okay. So, I think it depends where you are. So, if I talk to somebody in manufacturing, it may be very different than talking to somebody in IT or in software. So, because oftentimes in entrepreneurial cultures, it's an open system. or a random system. So those, and you know who you are. You have more open random systems if you have people who can come to meetings. It's a flattened hierarchy. It's not defined by clothes, right? So people, it's all about innovation and ideas. So in that case, in all about innovation ideas too open, you have to be able to create boundaries. We talked about that first with systemic collaboration. You have to say, well, look, you have great ideas. I want to hear them. They may or may not happen. And at the same time, I promise I will listen to them and understand them. So in environments that are too random and open, you might think of like a jury is very, you know, when it's too open, what happens in a jury? Well, sometimes you don't come to consensus. In random systems, it could be completely chaotic and really bad things can happen in random systems. So again, if you're open and you're random, keep boundaries, understand the rules, define respect, enable people to know that they're being heard. At the same time, there may be times when you're not going to take ideas, times when you may take ideas, you may take parts of ideas, and you'll enable them to be part of the work and the success and enable their success as well. If you look at other types of systems, though, again, this is contingent on systems and of that first practice that we do of discovering what kind of system we're working inside of. So a second type of system that we might work out, I said, could be manufacturing. They're different. Some of them have a little more closed or synchronous hierarchies. Now, that's okay. That's good. They're less flat. It doesn't matter. I'm not judging either one. What I'm saying is that within these systems, sometimes they can get too rigid. In too rigid hierarchies, it's hard for people to have their voices heard. Often difficult. It's sometimes difficult for them to even have a place or say. And they basically feel like they're at the back of the lunch line or back of the bus. They're just not being heard. So when you're too rigid, too bureaucratic, open it up. Use some of the elements of that open random system I just talked about and place it into more of the closed rigid hierarchies and enable people to really have a voice and feel psychologically safe within your environment, and you'll see great things happen.
Again, Mr. Carter, thanks so much for all the information shared here today per your expertise. Can't thank you enough. If listeners wanted to pick up the book and or get more information on the book In Great Company or your firm Best Practice Institute or yourself, where's the best place they could gather these details online?
You can get this at my website, lewiscarter.com. Or go to bestpracticeinstitute.org. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, 800 CEO Read if you want to get a lot for your company. And just go online, get it in Great Company. And get on Amazon, just pick it up. Give me a call too if you want to talk. I'm open to it. I give stuff away. If you want to get into this and practice it with me, I love it. It's all good.
And the passion certainly coming out loud and clear. Again, Mr. Carter, all the best. Thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly appreciated your time today.
Thanks, sir. Thanks for having me.
And it was certainly our pleasure. We've been speaking with Mr. Lewis Carter, once again, the CEO and president of Best Practice Institute, a benchmark research consortium association and management consulting firm. He is the author of his newest book, In Great Company, How to Achieve Peak Performance by Creating an Emotionally Connected Workplace. And for further details, visit either lewiscarter.com or bestpracticeinstitute.org. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
This is the ePodcast Network.